Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And welcome to our service here in Grey Abbey this morning. I suppose the last Sunday service of the year. And on the subject of welcoming, although he's not here yet, I'd just actually like to welcome our preacher this morning, Mark Rogers. It's a bit of a funny wonder whenever you're welcoming somebody and I say that they aren't here yet, but we're stepping out in faith that he will make it. And I'd be very pleased to see him when he does. And can I welcome anyone who's visiting with us this morning? It's just lovely this time of year that with people who are home, or to visit home again over Christmas and the New Year, you're all very welcome. And can I just say that it'll be lovely to see you around in solid ground for a cup of tea or coffee after the service. And just a few announcements before we get started. I'd just like to bring to your attention the Watch Night service tomorrow night, Monday night at 11:30 here in Grey Abbey. Just an opportunity to worship and to bring in the new year together as a church. And then next Sunday, the 6th, will be communion to start off the new year. And of course, as always in Grey Abbey, we like our food. So just a reminder that the ladies' lunch on Tuesday the 8th, there is a sign-up sheet. It will be in the vestibules for anyone who is interested in that. And again, I would encourage any ladies who are available to come along to that. And I'm told you need to bring your singing voices with you. And also at this time of the year, a reminder that it's the closure of the church accounts. So can we just ask that anyone who has any of the accounts for any of the organisations, they need to be in by next Sunday, the 6th of January. If you've got reports for any of the organisations, they need to be in by Sunday, the 13th of January. And in fact, next Sunday, the 6th, will also be the last day for any contributions to the 2018 accounts. On the subject of accounts and monies, the free will offering envelopes will be in the vestibules this morning. If Terry and John haven't already got you and you have a free will envelopes, if you just call round by the vestibule when the service is over, that would be a great help. Or if anyone doesn't have free will envelopes and wishes to get them, if they speak to the same two gentlemen, they will get you sorted out. And last of the announcements, I suppose, is that Trinity at Prayer commences this week on Wednesday night, the 2nd of January, in both Grey Abbey and in Clochy on the Wednesday night at 7:30. The announcements have it split on the Wednesday and Thursday night, but both the prayer meetings will be taking place on Wednesday night in both Clochy and Grey Abbey. And then that's all the announcements. So just as a call to worship, I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires for good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And that leads us into our first piece of praise this morning, 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years I've been forever. His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Worship your holy name. I worship your holy name.
Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning, recognizing that you are the one and only true God, who created us, in your image, and who has placed us in a world where we are blessed with all good things. You've provided us with gifts and talents to be what you want us to be, and to do what you want us to do, and to find contentment in your plan for us. We confess that we have turned from your plan for us, and that we have gone our own ways, and that we strive to fulfill our own ambitions rather than to fulfill your plans for us. We realize that the things of this world are attractive to us, and that we allow ourselves to be dragged into valuing them above you and your plans for us. We ask for your forgiveness, and that you will provide strength for us to turn back to you. Lord God, we give thanks that you are a God of forgiveness, and that you are a God full of mercy and grace. We thank you for your Son and for the forgiveness purchased by him for each of us. We thank you that you are faithful and full of love for us, and that you want us to turn back to you, to seek and to be forgiven, and to have life in all its fullness as your children. As we approach you this morning, we ask that you will fill this place with your Spirit, and that you'll open our hearts and speak to each of us through Mark's message, that each of us will leave this place today knowing that you are God and that you love us, and that we can find forgiveness and fulfillment in you. Amen. That brings us on to our second piece of praise. Great is thy faithfulness.
Well, good morning, friends. Are you well? I trust everybody has had a nice and peaceful Christmas, one stuffed with turkey and Brussels sprouts and everything else that goes along with that. I just want to say that it's a great blessing to me to be here, to be in Clochy, to be here to share and worship with you this morning. It's always a privilege to be asked back somewhere to share and worship and to lead God's people with God's word. And so I'm truly thankful for that. And before we go to our reading, which is in Matthew 6, I've been given a message here this morning from the prayer ministry team, and the prayer ministry team want you some specific individual in here this morning, someone who is held back in life by the past. The prayer ministry team believe that you've been made to feel stupid all of your life. You need to know that you're not stupid. You need to know that, in fact, God says to you this very morning, depend on me. Depend on me. I am everything you need. And you belong to me. Now, if that applies to you this morning, then don't leave this church building today without going and speaking to one of the members of the prayer ministry team, where they will be there for you to support you in prayer and any other needs possible or needs be. Well, as we turn to God's word and we continue in our series in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, and our reading this morning is in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, working our way through to the end of the chapter in verse 34. That can be found on page 971 of your pew Bibles also. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Let's hear God's word. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is sown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. And we pray that God will bless us, the reading of his precious and holy word to our souls. We're going to stand together to sing, Father, I place into your hands, and after that, the children are free to leave for their activities. So let us stand and praise God.
Father, I can do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. For I know I always can trust you. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be. For I know I always can trust you. Father, we love to seek your face. We love to hear your voice. Father, we love to sing your praise and in your name rejoice. Father, we love to walk with you and in your presence rest, for we know we always can trust you. Father, I want to be with you and do the things you do. Father, I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you. For I know that I am one with you.
Well, we're going to continue to worship God now as we bring to Him our tithes and our offerings. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Always, you are good. Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would be pleased with our tithes and offerings, and that you would use them in a way that would further advance your kingdom here on earth, in a way that would bless your holy name, in a way that would glorify you, Lord, in a way that would edify those in need. So, Father, we thank you for your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we come to hear God speak to us through his word, let's go to him in prayer one more time. Let's pray. Father, what an honor, what a privilege it is that we can get to address you as our Abba, Father. We praise your name today, O Lord, that your mercies are new each morning. Your faithfulness is great. Your steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, we thank you for this time of year, Lord, where we get to spend time together with family and friends. And Lord, we thank you that we devote this time of year to you, to your goodness, and for all that you've done for us through your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who was born as a baby, and and grew to be the God-man, the King of the world, our Savior, our Redeemer, our rock and our strength. And Lord, perhaps this time of year brings many blessings to us, and also, Lord, at times it may bring great sorrow and sadness. And so, Father, we call upon you this morning for your presence to be near those who need it this very moment, this very morning. Lord, maybe for some coming in here today has been a real struggle where they probably got out of their bed this morning and just thought, you know what, I don't want to be here this morning. Father, would you draw near to those in need? Father, we all need to hear you speak to us this morning. We all need to experience your grace. We all need a touch from you, Lord. Lord, maybe we know some of those who are not here this morning, but who are in desperate need of your grace, who are in desperate need of your presence with them, Lord. And so we intercede for those people this morning, asking, pleading that you would draw near, that you would be their strength, that you would be their sufficiency, that you would be their peace. Father, we don't know what 2019 has in store for any one of us. But Lord, we do know that you are in control and that nothing will happen in our lives that will take you by surprise. For you alone are God. You alone are sovereign over our lives. And so help us to trust in your goodness. And now, Father, as we come to hear you speak to us through your precious and holy word, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit, Lord. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Soften our hearts. That we would respond to what you say to us this morning. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, it's that time of year again, isn't it, where we begin to think about the year ahead and what it has in store for us. And that can bring mixed emotions, depending on where your mind might go with that. For some, it's a great time of hope and expectation. And I said this in the last service, I'm going to say it here as well, especially if you're a Liverpool fan. 2019, you have great hope ahead. And you really mean it this year when you say, this is our year, unlike other years. And again, straight away, I'm revealing my idolatry right there. But on a more serious note, some of you might have great plans for the year ahead. This is the year where maybe you read the whole Bible through in 1 year. You have aspirations to take your business to the next level. You're finally going to go on that holiday or get that dream house that you've always wanted. You're going to get that promotion and work that you feel you deserve. You're going to get that unexpected windfall of cash that you think you need. Some of you just live with hope and expectation and positivity, and that's good. But for some of you, it's another year of living in fear, dread, anxiety of what might happen in 2019. That all too familiar mindset of, what if I lose my job? What if I can't provide for my family? What if I miss out on my mortgage repayments? What if I get sick? What if I lose a loved one? Friends, I think if we're honest, we all fall into both of these categories at some point or time in our lives. In many ways, it demonstrates just too much faith in our own plans and abilities and a lack of faith and trust in God's sovereign rule and reign over our lives. Now, it's good to have plans. It's good to have ambitions and to have that positive outlook on life as long as these ambitions and plans are aligned with God's will. And so the title I've been given this morning for the sermon is, what does God think of our ambitions? And we're going to see two things from our passage this morning in Matthew 6. of how our ambitions will bring glory to God. And they bring glory to God in two ways: when we trust in his provision and when we trust in his providence. And straight away, I just want to say that this message might sting a bit this morning. And that's okay. That's good. It's good to be challenged, because I can tell you, when I was preparing this, it stung me in many ways. It challenged me in many ways as well. Our ambitions bring God to glory when, number one, we trust in his provision. Look with me again in your Bibles at verses 19 onwards. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, material wealth played an important role in the lives of people of Israel. It was oftentimes seen as a blessing upon their lives from God, and oftentimes a reward for their obedience unto him. But it also came with a great warning that it was not to take the place of God himself. You see, wealth could be acquired in many ungodly ways, and very often the Bible speaks of the wicked who are the ones who seem to prosper in life. It was Jeremiah the prophet who cried out to God, "Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease?" I'm sure if we're honest, we've all thought that at times in our lives. And this is one of the dangers of the prosperity gospel that is so prevalent in the world today, because its focus is on the gifts and not the giver. That the accumulation of wealth for its own sake is deceptive and empty, because not only does it lead to a false sense of security, but it's also a true assessment of the heart and its desires. So Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust, as the ESV puts it, destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." It's a deliberate play on words here, where moths are commonly known for their destroying of the most basic of materials, and rust, how over time, when it sets in, it deteriorates its object. In other words, we're not to expand all of our energy, all of our time, all of our resources into things that in the end will not satisfy. Things that will diminish in value over time. Things that, who knows, Jesus might ask of us on that great day, "Why? Why did you devote so much of your time and your resources to those things and neglect the things of eternal significance?" Pastor John Piper in America famously told the story about Bob and Penny, who had taken early retirement from their jobs when he was 59 and she was 51. And Bob and Penny went to live in Florida, where they cruised on their 30-foot trawler and played softball and collected seashells. And then Piper goes on to say that at the last chapter of your life, when you stand before the creator of the universe to give an account of what you've done with your life, and your response is, "Here it is, Lord. Look at my collection of seashells. Look at my big boat. Look at my swing." Piper goes on to say, that would be an absolute tragedy. And he's right. It would be a tragedy. Folks, what do you treasure in this life? Honestly, ask yourself that question right now. What do you treasure in life? Because I was preparing this, I had to ask myself that question. And I had to repent of a lot of things, because there are times in my life where I have not treasured Christ. I have treasured stuff. Are you earthly minded or are you heavenly minded? Because it will show and reflect in how you live your lives. It will reflect in what your bank account says, what your bank statements say. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like in that day when we tell Jesus, look, Jesus, look how much money I had in my bank account. Look at the cars I owned. Look how far I traveled the world that you created. Look at all my theology books that I haven't read half of them. Look at how well my kids turned out. Now, friends, I'm not saying that any of these things in and of themselves are bad. I'm not saying that wealth is a bad thing. In fact, wealth is a great thing as long as you steward it in a godly way. You see, when it comes down to it, you have two options. You will either use your wealth and your resources to serve the kingdom of God, or you will use them to serve yourself. That's why Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, we're not told what storing up treasures in heaven exactly means. It may be the idea of storing up good works before God and others, as that was a prominent theme in the history of Israel. But notice that Jesus goes beyond good works. Jesus goes for the heart. He goes for the core of a person's being, the source of your spiritual, emotional, and psychological life. And why does he go for the heart? Well, as Jeremiah says, it is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? John Calvin, the reformer, says the heart is a factory of idols. See, the truth is there are times in our lives where we place so much value on good things that they then become God things. And it's then that we take our gaze off our Heavenly Father and we turn our gaze toward ourselves and the things that belong to us. See, the God that we worship is a loving and a compassionate God. He cares for his children. He wants what's best for you. But he's also a jealous God, in that when something or someone takes his place, he is displeased. And there can be no divided loyalties with him. He will not share his glory with other gods. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Listen to this confession from the Testament of Judah. It's not in the Bible, 2nd century BC. And it says this, my children, love of money leads to idolatry, because once they are led astray by money, they designate as gods those who are not gods. It makes anyone who has it go out of his mind. You might remember, you may not, in 2002, a man by the name of Michael Carl, who at that time was one of the biggest jackpot lottery winners in the UK, he won almost £10 million. But not long after that, this man started to develop ungodly and immoral behaviours and developed crack cocaine habits, alcohol addiction, which cost him over £2,000 a day. He also bought a big, massive mansion and regularly held alcohol and drug parties in it, which he almost destroyed the mansion. He also had a love for good and fast cars, and he often raced these cars on the grounds of his own mansion. And he managed to destroy almost every one of those cars. And every time he destroyed a car, he went out and bought a brand new one. It took this man 10 years to squander every bit of that 10 million. And in 2012, he was living on public benefits and was actually arrested at one point for trying to steal a sandwich out of a grocery store. The dangers of the love of money, it makes people go out of their mind. And people often misquote scripture saying, well, money is the root of all evils, when in fact, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's a bit like seawater. The more you drink of it, the thirstier you're going to get. Maybe you've heard the phrase, well, sure, you can't take it with you anyway. Might as well spend it here and now. Referring to the spending of your money and material possessions. But what people are really saying is that deep down, this life and the one to come is of no great importance to them. So I might as well just live for the here and now. Might as well just spend it all on myself. It's the same attitude that God's own people Israel had almost 3,000 years ago when God himself rebuked his people through the prophet Jeremiah. When the Lord says, has a nation changed its gods even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The actor Jim Carrey once said, I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of, just so they see that it's not the answer. This is a man who had it all. Friends, this kind of lifestyle is a feeble attempt to fill the dark void that can only be filled by the righteousness and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ alone. He alone is our satisfaction. He is the one who gives us that water that will quench our thirst for the things of this world. Our God is none other than Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. He is a good God, and he can be trusted. And when we trust in his provision, our ambitions will bring him glory. The second thing we see is a call to trust in God's providence. Look with me again, verse 25 onwards. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus now moves on here to what might be a natural response to what he has just said previously in the verses earlier, that of worry. His hearers might well have been thinking, well, Jesus, if you're telling me to choose God as my master and I'm to place all my worth and value on the things of heaven, then who's going to take care of the things on earth? You see, folks, there's a difference between being concerned about something and being filled with worry and anxiety over something. Now, just to know, I'm not going to stand here and touch on the issues of clinical anxiety or the like, because I'm in no way qualified to do so. But what Jesus says here to us in this word, I do believe can apply to those aspects in our life. See, when you worry about the things of this world, our possessions, our future, our life in general, at its root, what that demonstrates is that we have a lack of faith and trust in God and his fatherly care over us. Some of you know my story, some of you don't, but I worked in Michelin tire factory for almost 16 years. And back in November 2015, the announcement was made that the factory would be closing in the summer of 2018, just passed. Now, granted, we were given 2.5 years notice, but the fact remained that I was going to lose my job very soon. Now, was I concerned about how I was going to support my family and what life might look like after Michelin closed? Of course I was. It's only natural that I'd be concerned about it. Was I worried? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because I knew that if God was who he says he was, then he would not abandon me, he would not abandon my family, and he would take care of us. Now, at that point, I thought, well, this is great. Not being made redundant is great, not having anybody else, but I thought, this is all part of his plan. I would leave Michelin this summer and then make the transition over to Union Theological College in September to begin training for the ministry in the Presbyterian Church, as long as I got that grade in the A level. I didn't get that grade. And so when I found out that morning, big man, you didn't get the grade, my heart sank. It really did. Was I concerned? I really was. Was I worried? I really wasn't. I really wasn't. And going back to the subject of ambition, I mean, it's my ambition to serve God in full-time ministry. In some context, I don't know what that is, it remains to be seen. And so after the disappointment of not getting into Union College, I decided to apply for Belfast Bible College. And I got the interview there, and within a few hours, I was accepted to begin studying. And I did so at September past there. Now again, I don't know what the outcome is going to be of this. We as a family are taking this a year at a time. And it's a massive step of faith for us as a family. Because, you know, there's only one wage coming into the house now, and there's bills to be fed, and there's mouths to be fed, and evidently there's bigger mouths to be fed. But are we worried about what may or may not happen? We're not. We're not worried, because God is sovereign. He is in control, and we are not. Union College is not in control. Queen's is not in control. Belfast Bible College is not in control. God is in control. Now, why do I tell you that? Not so you look at me and think, wow, isn't he so full of faith? But rather you would look to God and say, wow, isn't he so faithful? You see, our ambitions might not turn out the way we had liked and hoped to be, even though they may be godly, but that doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. It means that he is infinitely wiser than we ever will be. And a lot of the time, God doesn't want our ambitions. He just wants us. He just wants us. And in your disappointments, you can be sure that God is working in them and through them for your good and his glory. Isn't that why Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, another reason why we're told not to worry is because it's the mindset of unbelievers who just cannot comprehend the care of a heavenly Father. Jesus says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The emphasis here is on those who outside work and operate outside of God's values, those who do not acknowledge him as Lord over all things. And maybe that's true of you this morning. Could it be that your worry and your anxiety stem from the fact that you refuse to acknowledge God as Father and Lord over every single detail of your life? Can I implore you, can I implore all of us to pay heed to these next words from Jesus? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, Jesus is not saying here to look for something that isn't there, but rather to make the kingdom of heaven, to make the kingdom of heaven, the things that will have eternal significance, your priority in life. If you're a Christian in here this morning, then you have been united to Christ through faith in his redemptive work upon that cross, which means that you have already, in some way, entered the kingdom of heaven and therefore are called to live out that reality here on earth. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and you have a posture of repentance in your everyday life, then your place in heaven has been secured. And so your call to live a life of good works It's not so that you can earn your way into the kingdom of God. It's not so that you can earn your salvation. It's so that others would see your good works, that they would give God the glory, and that they too would embrace his salvation. And in doing so, God will look after your daily needs. And the more you and I depend upon him for his care in our present needs, the greater our faith will develop in him to take care of our future needs as well. See, worry is a bit like a rocking chair. It gives you plenty to do, but you're not going to get very far with it. You can expend so much energy on worrying about tomorrow, but at the end of the day, it's not going to change one bit what tomorrow brings. Not one bit. When you were a child, what were the three things that you were taught before you crossed the road? Stop, look, and listen. When you feel worry and anxiety building up within you about your possessions in life, about your future, stop. Stop. Take a deep breath and look. Look to God. Look to him through his word. See what he has to say about his sovereign rule and reign over your life, and listen. Listen to him speak those words over your life and over your situation. None of us knows what tomorrow will bring, but our Heavenly Father does. He cares for us. He watches over us. We belong to him. He knows all things. So therefore, in the words of Paul to the church at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, with supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are such a loving God. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you are the omniscient God. You know all things. Lord, help us to have the faith. Give us that faith to trust in your sovereign rule and reign over our lives. Lord, that we would put the worry and the anxiety to the side, and that we would live in the here and now for you and for your glory, so that things that we do in this earth would bring you glory, would edify the saints, would build up the church, and that we would grow in Christ's likeness in every aspect of our lives. Father, we need your help. We can't do this alone. Give us the faith. Give us the trust that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to finish our service of worship this morning by standing together to sing that great and powerful hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Let us stand and praise God.
shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my God. Riches I need not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance through all my days. Thou and thou only, the first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art.
And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us every day and forevermore. Amen.